from the biggest stages in golf.
64 foot, 5-inch putt to win his first major championship. That was storybook stuff, Gabe.
To the courses right here in Wisconsin.
Made sure we had plenty of chicken salad.
She gave me a member's service.
She most certainly did.
Salad.
Again, the guy at the front gate thought you were an employee. Maybe she thought you were an employee out here playing as well.
We're talking majors, tour drama, and the rounds we wish we didn't have to post. This is On the Tee, alongside PGA Tour Live Stephen Watson. Here's Gabe Neitzel.
Yeah, plenty of drama on tour. In fact, so much drama, we had a Monday finish on the PGA Tour at the Travelers Championship in Hartford. Victor Hovland claiming that victory. A little bit shocking there, but that's where we start. Today's show is out there with the Travelers Championship with It's All About the Drive.
Sometimes it's all about the drive. But off the tee, it's all about the drive. The best and biggest shots of the weekend.
That house is like 400 yards away.
Is that good?
That's unbelievable.
It's all about the drive.
All About the Drive, brought to you by our friends at Ewald Automotive. Celebrate America's 250th with $250 down or $250 a month. It's available in over 1,500 vehicles across all Ewald locations. Ewald always making it easy for you. Find out more at ewaldauto.com. Steven, you scared a group text with a comment you made about the putt that Scottie Scheffler missed.
I scared? Why?
Well, I wouldn't say scared, but he had us asking questions. With the way you said to phrase something.
Yeah. Well, we can get into that. Let's start with the putt.
I thought it was a turn of phrase, but I wasn't sure. And I'm like, well, I don't know. Maybe Steven is breaking some news here on a Monday morning in a group text. But they go to the... Well, after, I guess, we have to start on Sunday night.
Yeah.
Because Scotty almost three-jacks it after hitting it on the green. Blew his drive way right. He's on the side of a hill. Has to hoist, I think it was a 9-iron. Hit a great 9-iron to hit it on the green from where he was, and then putted it 8 feet past down the hill. Victor Hovland just missed the birdie putt. So then Scotty had to make an 8-footer in order to force a playoff, jarred it. And what was curious to me about that, and I don't, maybe curious is the wrong word. We've seen Scottie Scheffler win 4 major championships now. And yes, he ran away and hid for all 4, so the final putt was anticlimactic.
All of them by 3 or more strokes.
Including a 4-putt on the 18th green at Augusta. I think that's the first time I've seen Scottie Scheffler give a little fist pump after the par putt went down on Sunday night. Like, that was... And it was a trying day. Both those guys, despite having incredibly low scores, luckily both of them were clear of the field by quite a bit, because neither of them had their best stuff on Sunday. Field was able to kind of creep back in, but ultimately it was those two who went to the playoff. But Scotty giving a little fist bump. I liked seeing a little bit of emotion on the golf course out of Scotty.
Yeah, I mean, they had to battle some elements too, weather coming in, which is why this ultimately had to be finished on Monday morning. But good for Scotty. I think, you know, we'll talk a lot about Scotty's season, but I think it's been a trying season. And I say that with air quotations, because his off year would be a career year for so many guys on the PGA Tour. His 4th runner-up of the year, and I think that he just desperately wants to win one, Gabe. I mean, I know he picked one off earlier this year at Amex, but he's gotten so close. He feels like his game is in a really good place. He found himself at the top of a leaderboard, you know, through 54 holes. It wasn't like the chasing down Scotty that we've seen during most of these majors where he's finished runner-up. He finally had one in his hands, and he let it slip through, and I think we're starting to see it wear on Scotty, who is an ultimate competitor, and he knew that he had to make that putt for himself to prove that, yeah, I can still win at a regular rate in this game. And, I mean, when he made that putt, everybody went to sleep, put their head on the pillow, said, well, Scotty's got his win.
Who are you taking? The number one player in the world or the guy who had a 4-hour range session on Saturday morning after missing the cut at the U.S.
Well,
Open,
you know,
the week previous?
I loved this final pairing so much. It's, gosh, like, Victor Hovland is low-key one of my favorite professional golfers.
I don't even think it's low-key anymore.
We have documented our love for Victor Hovland through sound bites on this show for a number of years.
And you love, I mean, you love his...
he's loud and proud. I know you're going to give me some Jay Lindenberg, you know. They've gotten better.
They have.
It's a lot like Malbon, right? Like, Malbon came out and they made some wild statements with Jason Day, but they rolled it back. They got your attention. And now Victor's wearing pretty calm, cool clothes. Like, yeah, he makes a statement every once in a while. He wants you to know where he is on the golf course. But that's just good brand marketing, Gabe, out of our friends at Jay Lindenberg and Malbon. You know, you got to get people's attention before you start selling merchandise. No, I did not buy a cheetah print of Victor Hovland's from a few years ago, but. I think he's just...
I've been close, by the way. I'm pulling the trigger on a couple Jay Lindenberg shirts for you.
Oh, for me?
For you.
I could see you rocking it. You like a good loud shirt.
I do. I do like a good loud shirt. But again, you're the one who came to the... A couple of years ago, came to the fence of Jay Lindenberg. So that's... I've perused it. And
it's not even coming to the fence. Like, I've put a hand over the fence, you know? Like, I've tried it on.
For a joke, like... I'm waiting for the price to come down on a couple of them, right? Like on a good little personal little poke to the ribs. Well, I wasn't going to spend $150 on a polo.
I'll wear it proudly.
Oh, I know you would, which is why I want to do it.
Okay.
I should probably just do it.
Especially after this win. Heck, I might go buy one myself. No, but I think, you know, Victor is arguably the most fascinating guy on the PGA Tour right now, and I don't know if it's particularly close. We talk a lot about Bryson. He's not on the tour.
No.
But like you talk about getting inside the mind of a professional athlete. Man, Victor lets us live in his mind because that's where he lives. Like he has to. I don't even know what he thinks about throughout most of a day, but he airs it all out to us, and we're all better for it in the media. Like we eat it up, and we feel like we're riding that emotional roller coaster with him every single time he puts the peg in the ground. And you know, so many guys are guarded, and Victor is the exact opposite. And I love that about him. He's a super nice guy.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
it's hard not to root for him everywhere outside the Ryder Cup.
And so when I saw that these two were going to be going to a Monday morning playoff, I was like, sign me up. I watched every shot. I thought it was so good. You know, Victor's got a couple of big wins, but doesn't have a major yet. You know, the type of guy that you just want to root for to get over the edge in this game. And this is another week where we're watching a guy go toe-to-toe with Scottie Scheffler and seem unfazed because they both hit great drives in the middle of the fairway on Monday. Scottie is a couple yards back of Hovland. He sticks it to a few feet. And what does Hovland do? Like, completely unfazed, throws a dart a couple feet outside of Scottie, makes the putt, and says, pressure's on you, world number one. God, like, I love that. I love guys standing up to a test and not being intimidated by the number one player in the world right now.
Well, and as when you're as lost as Victor has been...
Yeah, I mean, he was lost probably on Saturday morning, for all we know. That's what makes it so great.
Going up against the number one, the undisputed number one player in the world probably seems like a breeze compared to some of the depths he's found himself in over the last couple of years, right? And
it's like, you can't shake me. I've already shaken myself.
Nobody can shake me like I shake me, all right, pal? So that's, again, to your point, that's why I love Victor, because he is just, you ask him a question, I have no idea what the answer is going to be, but the one thing I know is he's going to be transparent and honest in his response.
Yeah. I mean, that's all you can add. Like, as a media member, all you have to do is press go. Like, you don't even have to ask a question. You'd be like, hey, Victor.
How are you doing?
Go.
How you doing, Victor? I don't know what direction he's going to take that in.
5 minutes later, you may have heard about science or his crazy music he listens to or some theory on life. I don't know.
He wants to draw the ball, but then he starts drawing it too much. Now he wants to cut the ball, and it's just it's fantastic. And I'm happy for him that he picked off a win.
Maybe he's too transparent. Like he probably needs a little bit of media training.
No, never change, Vic. Never change.
Like we all live that way inside of our head playing golf. He's just not afraid to talk about it.
And that's why I love him. And that's what makes him so relatable.
Yeah.
I think if he were ever to win a major championship and take that next step, or even maybe win a second one the way we saw Wyndham do this year, or join that list along guys like Xander Schauffele, if he were ever to reach that level of the game, because he's not there yet, I think he would be one of the most popular players because he would have the personality to go along with the success, just hasn't had the success portion yet. And I say yet because he honestly could pick off, he's talented enough where he could pick off two majors in a relatively short amount of time.
100%.
He also might not ever win one.
Yeah.
I have no idea. And that's part, going on the ride with Victor is part of the fun.
Yeah, I mean, we've done this exercise on this show a number of times. Like, who's the best player to not win a major?
Yeah.
Right? And I would probably say the best player right now is still Cameron Young to not win a major. You know, he won players.
Yeah.
But Victor Hovland is at the top of that list.
Yeah, Victor, Tommy. Yeah, it's probably those three.
Yeah, I mean, for a while we said Max.
Yeah, unfortunately he's
just had a down
off.
Year. But yeah, I you have Victor, Tommy, or Cam pick off a major, I'm happy.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, I mean, of course, Max too, but like with the way that those guys are playing right now and where their game is at, like I think it'd be great for golf if any of those guys
Ludwig
were to win one.
Probably on the short
list
Ludwig, too.
Yeah,
just because
point.
Of how talented he is.
Of course.
I know he's had his struggles on Sundays, you know, kind of dealing with the pressure of being up near the leaderboard, having a lead going into big events, but I think that's something he's going to figure out.
Yeah.
To your point of Scottie Scheffler, though.
Yeah.
Here's Scottie Scheffler starting with this major championship season, so starting with the Masters. Second in a playoff. Second, T14 at the PGA. Third, T12 at the Memorial. T4 at the U.S. Open. Second in a playoff at the Travelers. It's an unbelievable season. And again, with Scottie Scheffler, it just becomes his floor is just so much higher than so many other people. I know Aaron Rodgers said this a couple of years ago when he was still with the Packers. And, you know, if I throw 25 touchdowns, it's a career year for some guys. I mean, this is a down year for Scottie, and this could be a career year for someone.
Oh,
because
almost any other player in the world, maybe not named Rory McIlroy, would say, you take that, present it at the beginning of the season, you say you want to sign here, and all of them would.
Yeah, you have a win, and then his worst finish this year came at the Arnold Palmer.
Yeah.
T24.
Yep.
That is the worst Scottie Scheffler has done this year. He just hasn't picked off the wins, which shows you how difficult it is to pick up wins at the rate in which he was doing last year and the year before, and we've had these big seasons. But it's still so incredibly impressive for me to see him consistently. The U.S. Open in Shinnecock was a completely different test, and the questions were completely different at Shinnecock versus TPC River Highlands for the Travelers Championship. And he finished T4 and made it to a playoff in the other one. But there's not a course where he's just going to disappear because he's that good, where he's just on top of the leaderboard all the time.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just looking at his stats right now and I'm trying to figure out like what is it? Like what's going wrong? And I think about putting, right? Just like we watched him miss that short putt to extend that playoff. And you're like, all right, the putter hasn't been there. You know what he ranks right now on putting?
It's top 10.
He's 12th.
Okay.
That would be the career high for him.
Yeah, that's not a
That's a career high for him if he finishes 12th.
The putt was an issue there in that moment, but the putter has not been an issue all
I mean,
year.
He's first in strokes gained total, not a surprise with how good his results have been. He's third off the tee. He's eighth in approach.
Oh, no, eighth? Because that's what it was earlier. Like
he's second in total driving, 91st in proximity. So that is
okay.
The
so
stat.
The ball, yes, the ball striking, while it's been okay, yes. So your putting can only be
first
so
in
good.
Scrambling.
Well, he's the best chipper in the world, man.
Like it's gosh, it's crazy. First in par four scoring, first in birdie average.
I was first in
scoring average.
You know
crazy.
How advanced PGA Tour sites when they do the strokes gain stuff, they'll do like the 5-point map.
Yeah.
And Scottie's is almost maxed out in all five.
You want to see it if you're watching at home? Yeah. That's what it looks
good.
Like.
Somebody put Jordan Spieth's inside of that and made me very sad. Yeah. Made me really sad.
Yeah.
Because it's...
They're not the same guy.
Which I knew, Steven. Which I knew. But it's not even close. Like, none of it is ever close.
Yeah. I mean, but... You knock on the door, you're going to knock it down.
Yeah.
And like, Scottie could go win the Open,
would
make a ton of sense. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's surprising to not see him win a signature event this year. It's surprising. Like, I get the majors,
so
he's been close, but to go an entire signature event season and not pick off one of them is kind of surreal with how close he was.
Yeah, because that's how good those are the expectations he set for himself.
Yeah.
And this is, I don't want to say eerily similar, but we kind of knew he was going to break through his rookie season. Made the Ryder Cup team without winning, but he was consistently putting himself in position. And you just kind of went, okay, this guy's going to figure it out. And then he figured out at a level that I don't think anybody ever saw coming. But it's kind of the same thing. Golf, a lot of times, when you're talking about professional golf, is how often are you putting yourself in those opportunities? Which is why it's shocking, by the way, that Wyndham Clark now has two major championships, when outside of those two majors, I think he's finished top 10 one other time in his major championship career.
Yeah.
And that's why nobody's shocked that when Jack Nicklaus, who has the most ever major championships, also has the most ever second place finishes, because he consistently gave himself those opportunities to get over the hump, and sometimes you will and sometimes you won't. And unfortunately for Scotty, he just, on Monday, Victor was just ever so slightly better than him, but he consistently puts himself in these positions, leaving him, to me, as the undisputed number one player in the world.
Yep.
Even if he doesn't win a major championship this year, he's never going away.
Well, he's also playing a lot more than Rory, so Rory can make all the, you know, comments he wants about being a Masters champion, but you got to play events, Rory. Sorry.
Quickly, before we talk a little bit more about, we have some leftover thoughts about what the new PGA Tour schedule is going to look like that we talked about last week. But it also came out this week. So Rory is not going to reach the minimum of 15 tournaments that he has to play on the PGA Tour in order to maintain membership.
Yeah.
The PGA Tour has basically said that they don't care, and Rory's still a member. They're not going to do anything to punish him. And I believe the quote was extenuating circumstances.
Sure.
I don't know what those are. Doesn't seem like Rory's going through anything personally. Hasn't shared that publicly with anyone. And I guess we'll have to wait until the Scottish Open to get comments from Rory about this. And even I am a huge Rory fan. I think we have made that perfectly clear on this program. Both you and I are big fans of Rory McIlroy. The tour needs to do something. These are the rules that you have. I understand Rory's upset. I get why Rory's upset. But these rules exist. And for the same reason why I thought that John Rahm, for not living up to the rules and I thought it was dumb that he got into the fight that he did before he finally decided to come to an agreement and pay his fines on the DP World Tour. Rory, you want to be a member in good standing here? You got to play your 15 events. Maybe those rules change with the new schedule. Who knows? Maybe you can push for that. But these are the rules right now. And the tour should have fined him, suspended him, done something for not meeting the minimum amount of tournaments that are required by members.
Yeah, I mean, I if you have rules in place, your stars have to honor those rules. I'm curious if he'll be a part of the Player Impact Program profit at the end of the year if he's not going to make his minimum number of events, or, you know, if there's a way
Tiger that always cleaned up. But didn't they get rid of that? Or is this the last year for it?
I think this is the last year. Because I know Brooks Koepka was not eligible for it as part of his.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Because I knew they were starting to phase it out.
You know, it's a tough position, because I think for Rory, he knows he's probably the needle in the game right now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that can go to your head. And he's seeing that he's winning majors and winning big events by taking time off and doing what's best for him. But the same guy who has advocated for years about getting the best players together more often needs to be more available more often.
Yeah.
And I think it comes down to that. I think he wants to play the absolute minimum. Sure. Go for it.
Go. Tiger did that all the time. Like, Tiger would set his schedule. He would play his events. And I'm not 100% sure, but it also kind of feels like the tour at that time would just kind of cater around Tiger. And, oh, if you want the minimum to be 13, Tiger, then the minimum's 13.
Yeah.
But the minimum exists. You have to, and if you don't, there should be consequences for not meeting the minimum.
I mean, I assume we're not going to see him at the FedEx St. Jude once again.
No.
This is what that means. And then, you know, I'm sure this probably gives him the quote-unquote power to do whatever he wants next year before they put these whole new plans in place for 2028. It's not a good look for somebody who is supposed to be the face of your tour.
Yeah.
And I again, if he's going through something, it's a totally different conversation. We're not aware of that having this conversation right now, but if it's simply, I don't want to play because I don't think I have to,
now is what it kind of seems like.
Yeah. That's not.
He just wants to set his schedule. And to your point, he's had the success. He's won a major championship by doing basically whatever he wants. And I get that, but
by doing so, he's belittling the tour that he's trying to save.
Yeah. And Rory, I understand you're mad. The dude that made you mad is on his way out the door.
Yeah.
Jay Monahan's no longer a problem for you. We have other thoughts that we want to get out there about the new PGA Tour schedule in 2028. We do that coming up next on the tee. With 18 unforgettable holes on 250 acres of natural private land, the Bog provides the ultimate golf experience. After your round, stop in the clubhouse for food and drinks. Call 262-284-7075 or visit golfthebog.com. Last week, the news broke, and look, when you only have an hour show to talk about golf and you have a pretty exciting U.S. Open to talk about, plus on top of that, news about what the PGA Tour is finally going to look like and finally getting those changes we've talked about for years and years and years, you run out of time. So the PGA Tour, as we learned last week, going to have two different tracks. And ultimately, Stephen, I guess where I want to start this conversation, because right now it is the championship and the challengers. Championship track, challengers track, championship series, challenger series, whatever you want to call it. Those are working names.
Yep.
And I'm sure in a perfect world, they sell naming rights to both of those championships because I believe FedEx, their naming rights expire after next season.
Correct.
So that opens up, which honestly gives them the flexibility to be able to kind of change the way that they want to do some of these changes with the way that FedEx has been so involved with the way the PGA Tour playoffs look right now. Do you think that this is a big deal for the PGA Tour, or do you fall into the camp that feel like this just kind of codified what already existed on the tour of the haves and have-nots?
The latter. I think we finally have a way to break apart the gray area on what the PGA Tour is. The thing I love about it, I love that there's no more sponsor exemptions. I love that there's, you know, no more qualifiers into these events. That stuff got kind of messy the last couple of years, especially with the signature events.
Because there were some guys, I mean, Ricky Fowler is taking advantage of this. My guy Jordan Spieth has certainly taken advantage of this, where they are popular names and they haven't earned their way
Tony
in there.
Tony Finau, you know, like all good people. Fan favorites. We love seeing them. I understand why they're sponsor exemptions. But again, to kind of the conversation we're having with Rory, you can't call yourself a meritocracy and it's all about competition and then be like, but like, we love our guys.
Yeah, but Ricky Fowler, come on down, buddy. And some guys then, I know Ricky the first time got into the signature events basically because of the sponsor exemptions that he got.
And good for him. He's been incredible for the game.
Oh, and he has been, and he was given an opportunity, and he took advantage of it.
Yeah.
Kind of like we talked about last week with Wyndham Clark. He was in the fortunate wave. Now, he was the only one who took advantage of being in that fortunate part of the wave. He was given an opportunity, he took advantage. I look at it the same way with Ricky. He was given that opportunity. Plenty of guys, as you mentioned, Tony Finau, have been given these opportunities and spent sponsors exemptions, but did not take advantage, get enough points, and then earn your way in to the signature event series.
And those three guys in particular, I have to say, you talk about growing the game.
Yeah.
Those are three guys who are always signing early, staying late. You know, like they're the type of people that have actually helped grow the game with the next generation more so than most.
Jordan had to stay late with all those lab putters he was testing out last week.
Come on. We're not doing this again. We're not doing this again. I know you're shook. You're shook.
When your boy's looking at lab putters, whether it's your favorite professional golfer or one of your weekend playing buddies, once somebody starts to look at those lab putters,
no,
you know they're lost.
Yeah, it's
you might not ever give them back.
I put one in my hand. I looked down and I said it's too ugly. Just couldn't bring my eyes there. But the other thing I love is I love the 120 to 130 player fields. I've caught a lot of signature events now. And if you're not talking about your top guys, the bottom falls out pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these guys, knowing that there's no cut, it gets ugly pretty quickly. I think we need to hold these guys accountable with a cut line. I think it's good for the game. It's good for the competitive juices.
And I think that, it honestly, if you do the TV product right, you know, and you know this, you know, doing a Friday on PGA Tour Live, guys grinding to make the cut is a great storyline for Friday.
Yeah.
And hey, Justin Thomas has talked about how he has felt more pressure to try to make a cut than he feels when he's at the top of the leaderboard.
100%.
Because when you're at the top of the leaderboard, you're feeling it. You're feeling good. When you're grinding to make a cut, you might not have complete control of that golf ball, but you're still trying to find a way to get in the house so you can get paid that week. That has been a part of golf. And I think, especially as we broadcast and televise more and more golf, having that cut is really important to the story, especially on Friday.
Well, and I think beyond the cut itself, I think the idea of relegation is also going to improve the television product significantly. Because if you've watched Premier League and you know, like, the drama of teams being relegated, like, that's a significant thing for teams, for fan bases, whatever it might be. So now you're looking at a large pool of golfers who have to earn their spot on the championship series. And I think that's going to create some incredible drama down the stretch before we get into this new look format of the match play for a postseason. And I think it's going to be great for the game to see guys, you know, grinding on the challengers and the championship to try and swap places. I think it's going to create a really good kind of secondary storyline of how this series is going to look different year to year.
I gave you my dream last week.
Yes.
I gave you a week to think about it.
Yeah. I don't think I have an answer, but okay. I'll try. It's hard.
So it is. So as a part of this, and ESPN had kind of floated out, and apparently the tour has kind of backtracked on some of this because I don't know if they've talked to some of these historical venues about the possibility of this. And the idea being when they get to the playoffs, yes, are still important, and there's still going to be money on the line, all those sorts of things. But the playoffs are going to be more made for TV than they are an event like we saw this week, where Hartford comes out, supports it, they're all showing up to TPC River Highlands, and it looks like a great time to be at. And the crowds are fantastic. This is going to be more made for TV, where you don't have a huge build-out and huge grandstands, and it takes 3 months to set that up. And it's going to be more intimate, it's going to be more for TV, therefore opening up places like Cypress, like Pine Valley, those were two. Seminole was another one, which they did a broadcast from Seminole during COVID. You know, they did a shootout there where, you know, kind of a lot of the country got to see that beautiful golf course for the first time. So the thought is, oh, we can go to places we haven't gone before. And because it's match play, we don't have to worry about them going out there and shooting 62, because who cares what the number is? It's did you win or lose? You know, we don't really talk about the Ryder Cup in the singles matches. Oh, well, what did Sam Burns shoot? I don't care what he shot. Did he win or lose the point?
Yeah.
And that's, you don't have to worry about some of these classic golf courses kind of getting torn up by the best players in the world by putting up low number after low number. So with that in mind, I had said my dream for the state of Wisconsin is that we host a playoff with the match play at the original championship 18 at Black Wolf Run.
I love it. I think, you know, we've played that together. We both have a special place in our hearts for that layout. I think it's unique. I think it would be a great, great drama. I would rather see that than see Whistling Straits again. Probably crazy to say out loud. I know on TV, Whistling Straits would look phenomenal.
And if we're being honest, if a Kohler property is going to get that,
it's
going to be the Straits.
We're putting it on Lake Michigan.
Yeah, I get it, which is why I said it's a dream, and I know it's a dream.
But we're golf sickos, and we love the layout a little bit more.
Yes, and it'd just be different, and it was such a great test. The two times the women did it, for the women's U.S. Open in 97 and 2012, I just wish we could go back there, because I think it's just such a good, good layout.
So I have an answer for you.
Okay.
And it comes with a but.
All right.
I'll start with the but. The but is, I'm eliminating Whistling Straits because it had a Ryder Cup.
Sure.
I am going to eliminate Erin Hills because they're hosting every USGA event for the next 100 years.
Like every other year. It's great. I love that for our guys out at Erin.
One course that I have really fallen in love with every time I've been there, and have enjoyed watching people a lot better at golf play it than me, would look good on TV. There's a little partnership tie that would be good for the state of Wisconsin. I'm going to go to Century World.
Okay.
And I think that that golf course and how it's laid out, like a PGA Tour event, I think the winner would shoot 50 under. Because you can't make it any longer than it possibly is. But a match play event gets really fascinating out there because those greens have a ton of undulation. You can really get those things going. There's a couple of really short par fours that would make for incredible theater. And I think the way that that course is designed, the meat of that golf course is actually in the middle.
Yes.
Which is what I think makes it a really good match play venue. Like, what I love about Erin Hills is everything. But I love the start and the finish. I think the start and the finish, like 1 through 4,
mm-hmm.
so good. So good at Erin Hills. And then, like, 15 through 18.
I was about to say, I thought you were going to say, and then 5 through 18
yeah,
is such a great finish.
One thing that like left me a little empty about the Ryder Cup at Straits was the USA was too dominant. We mm-hmm. didn't see many matches finish on 17 or 18.
No, not a lot of matches got that far.
And like when I'm thinking about match play at that level, like I want to see the meat of the course in a match. And I think that Century World gives you that really good test. Like, those holes kind of like from 6 through 13, like 13 is my favorite hole out there. We've talked about that
a
lot.
Yes, we have, yeah.
Like 6 through 13, like those are, that's an unbelievable stretch of golf and like tough par fours, like really unique setup. I think Century World would be a really fun match play golf course if you had the best in the world play it.
I have not been there. You have. If we're talking about something realistic, it kind of feels like the Lido would fall into that category. And the Lido has now hosted a couple of, and will be hosting some major events for the USGA. And if it continues to grow, because it's still such a new golf course, you know, and it's still like growing and maturing. I wonder if that could be a place, especially if they go to some of these classic old golf courses with the in mind of, hey, this is a classic old golf course we used to have. Yeah, it was in New Jersey, but then we were able to recreate it here in Wisconsin. And I wonder if that would be, because I know they've talked about different Kaiser properties of, oh, maybe that means they could do a PGA Tour event or this match play at Bandon Dunes.
Yeah, like because, I could see Pac Dunes hosting.
Yeah, because you... The problem with those places, though, is A, it's really hard to get to. B, grandstands there would be really... Oh, but if you don't need that stuff, the way they've had the amateur, the men's and women's amateurs out
and
there.
The PGA Championship Professionals was at Bandon Dunes.
Oh, yeah, they were
year.
At Bandon Dunes this year, too. So you know you can get the cameras out there. You know you can make it look really good on TV. And I wonder if a realistic option might be the Lido. Now, I have never played it, but it seems like the better players that play it come away pretty impressed by it.
From a, I think that's a really good point. Because there's so much history on the property and like what the Kaisers did up there is unbelievable. Building a place to spec. I think there's only one bunker that was added and it was only added to separate a green from a tee box by a little bit more than what the original design was on Long Island. I would love nothing more than to listen to Scottie Scheffler's breakdown of Lido on a press conference. Because like he loves golf course architecture.
Yeah.
He's very thoughtful about golf courses. He's very honest about them. And I would love to see him play a practice round and talk about the Lido, like selfishly as a golf fan. I do think the Lido could be, if they cooked it up the right way, they had the right conditions, could be a really fun environment for match play. Again, if we have to get out of the mindset of these guys would go out there and shoot, you know.
Who cares what they shoot?
40 under.
Yeah.
Like from a competition standpoint. I don't know if it will look as good on TV as maybe some of the other ones with the bunkering, but I do think that, I would be here for Lido. I think that that would be one that could get PGA Tour players fired up just about the history and the uniqueness of that property.
I could feel...
I'm here for it.
If they're able to get some of the other uniquely historic places that the Tour typically doesn't go to, I could see it falling in that category. Not all the time, and honestly, probably just a one and done, but hey, the Kaisers did something pretty cool with what was considered a really good golf course back in the day.
Yeah.
Maybe we go there and no matter how many tickets you sell, I mean, you're going to sell them out.
Yep.
You know, I know you're going to make it limited because you don't have the grandstands and all that, but Wisconsin's going to, as we continue to prove, we're going to support professional golf.
Yeah, and the nice thing about Lido, from a fan experience, is there's really like no terrain. It's just flat.
It's flat.
So you'll be able to go enjoy a nice stroll and watch the best in the world play. I mean, that's probably the one knock on both Whistling Straits and Erin Hills is you better have your big boy walking shoes on those properties. It's kind of a tougher fan experience to take advantage of the whole property.
Once you get to where you want to go,
Yeah.
Some pretty cool viewing, you know, some pretty cool viewing from up on top of some of the hills around those places. But yes, can be very difficult, certainly, to navigate. Speaking of our friends at Erin Hills, their Golf Digest, 10th-ranked public course in the nation. It's right here in Wisconsin. Enjoy charming overnight accommodations and championship golf. Back nine, you just heard Stephen talk about. We love it. Great finish. Great start. Everything's great at Erin Hills. Learn more. Plan your trip today at erinhills.com. The fall from grace continued from a former prominent PGA Tour player. We detail that next on the tee.
When the game matters, where you play matters even more. At Wisconsin Country Club, you get a championship-level golf experience right here in Milwaukee with nearly a century of tradition behind it. But what really sets it apart? It's everything beyond the course. Pool days, tennis, pickleball, fitness, great dining, programs your kids will actually look forward to.
Steven was hanging out for the fireworks last night.
A little pre-July 4th fireworks at Wisconsin Country Club the other day. You know, had the kids out. I got to tell you a funny story. My kids are now wired to, like, when we get to the club, we're going right to the range. and I had to be like, no, like, hey kids, like, there's cotton candy over there. No, we're going right to the range. And then it was, can we get on a golf cart? So I think I'm doing a good thing right now.
You are. Again, it might have been a little confusing for them.
Yeah. But no, an amazing event, little pre-July 4th celebration, good food. Kids had a blast. Daughter had her face painted as a butterfly. I mean, what more can you ask for in life? But as a member myself, I can tell you it's where I go to play, connect, spend real time with my family. It's a better way to experience the game and everything around it. Schedule your private tour today. Mention Good Karma for exclusive promotions.
Phil Mickelson is going to miss his fourth major. He's not going to be playing the Open Championship, and that may or may not have to do with the latest Scratch article that came out, written by Alan Shipnuck, who wrote a biography on Phil a few years ago. And I thought it was a very fair. I read the whole thing. I thought it was very fair. It was just a complete, hey, this is who Phil is, right? There was a lot of really good things, because Phil has done a lot of really good things. There was some not good things in the book as well, and he did not have what he had written about. He apparently had talked to 19 different sources for this story. He said he had to work incredibly hard, and this coming off the heels of the Joel Beal Golf Digest piece, how Phil had an inappropriate contact with a worker at a club that he had belonged to in San Diego, and Phil was asked to leave the property, and then he resigned his membership later. So again, not a great look for Phil, and apparently this has happened at a couple of other clubs. He was showing inappropriate pictures of himself to Pat Perez's ex-wife while they're out at dinner. Just not great stuff for Phil, which is, I wish it could have been different. But unfortunately, who Phil Mickelson truly is has really come to light over the last 6 months or so.
Yeah, the demons have come out. You know, there's a saying, you don't want to meet your heroes. And it's unfortunate when we get to this level with somebody who is beloved by so many in this game for so long. I mean, I think of, like, my memory of Phil Mickelson is actually at Whistling Straits for the Ryder Cup when he was a vice captain, and being able to walk a lot of those practice rounds. And man, people were as excited to see Phil as they were to see, you know, the 12 guys on Team USA, and like him giving the thumbs up and the big smile and the wave to everybody. And then just like thinking about how he can put his head on his pillow every single night with what's deep within him. It's really sad. I mean, we didn't even touch the gambling problems that he had for so long in this game as well. You know, I'm not going to tear down a guy who's been publicly torn down at this point. I have no remorse for it. You know, there's obviously no place for people making those levels of mistakes. All we can do is hope that he gets the help that he needs. And I always think about the family around somebody like this when this level of exposure is brought to light. And, you know, I'm sad for his wife. You know, one of the great iconic moments in this game happened when he won the Masters, you know, with his wife battling cancer. And that was probably the pinnacle of Phil Mickelson as a professional golfer. But as we've learned, what was happening outside the ropes was some really dark things for him and his family. And all you can do is just hope the best for them moving forward.
I think for me, it's going to be one of the biggest golf what-ifs.
Yeah.
Because he could have been, and I think somebody kind of mentioned this in the article that Shipnuck broke, about how he could have been Arnold Palmer. You mentioned as beloved as he was. I mean, Ryder Cup captain. He could have been a hell of a broadcaster. You know, I just think of him. I can't remember what year it was, where after the PGA, he went up in the booth on a Saturday with Nance and Faldo, and he was just running circles around Faldo.
Yeah.
In terms of, like, golf analysis. And when the match series was still going on, he was such a big part of it because he understood you can't cut away. It's just us being entertaining. And he would have guys talk about, oh, hey, how do you hit this shot? And make it interesting for the people watching back at home. His brain when it comes to golf, he's a golf genius.
Yeah, he's an incredible golf mind.
And it's just, it can be so complicated, but he could make it seem so simple when he was breaking it down. And he could have been one of the great ambassadors all time. Him and Tiger were probably going to be the two at Augusta that were going to be hitting the ceremonial tee shots that we see every year now from, you know, Player and Nicklaus and Tom Watson. I can't imagine that's on the table right now for Phil.
Maybe for both, you know. For a little while too. It's sad. You're sad for everybody involved in what we're finding out at this point. I think Phil, you think about the stance that he took with Liv,
yeah,
and going against the PGA Tour. It's starting to make a little bit more sense now, mm-hmm, right? What he always knew deep down.
You want to talk about the gambling issues, which is separate from this article. I think that kind of made a lot of sense too.
Yeah.
Or maybe you needed a cash infusion of the signing bonus of playing for Live Golf. So yeah, we're not going to see Phil play golf this year, and I don't know if we'll ever see him play golf.
Yeah. It's a shame because, I mean, his highs were so high. I mean, even him winning the PGA Championship at 50. Kiowa was like one of the...
And the way they just let the rope line go.
Yeah.
And everybody walking up, I know Brooks didn't love it, but it was a hell of a scene.
Yeah.
Of everybody just celebrating with Phil on his way being 50 years old and winning a PGA.
Yeah. Him jumping on the green at Augusta, like that iconic image. It's... he has meant so much to this game, and it's sad to see it potentially end like this. All you can do is hope that the human can come back out, and he can put these demons aside and one day be able to move forward and be able to look at himself in the mirror and realize that he's made some change for himself. But right now, what's come out is really sad.
We get to our Gruber Losses One Call. That's all for the week. Coming up next on the tee. This may be a little self-serving, but I know you're looking to get new wedges, Steven.
I'm getting fitted tomorrow.
Oh, wow. I can't wait for you to get to your new wedges because there was a shot that I hit that I'm going to give myself Gem of the Week, brought to us by the Jewelry Center. Engagement rings, wedding bands, gifts for that special someone, even repairs, all happens at the Jewelry Center. Visit any one of their four locations, Greenfield, Brookfield, Burlington, or Mequon. I had a little 60-yard pitch shot, a number 9, at our place, at the Wisconsin Country Club. Hit a great drive. You know, got it around the corner a little bit, but it's just this little half wedge.
Wait, sorry. You drove it to 60 yards?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Sure. Okay. Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah, that's fun.
So had this little in the pin, if you ever played Wisconsin Country Club, the green on 9 slopes hard right to left.
Yep.
But there's also, it's not a false front, but there's a little ridge on the front of the green that you also have to navigate because that will slope down to the hole. So just hitting a nippy little spinny wedge that hits perfectly on top of the hill.
Don't forget about the turn bar that sits right beyond the green that may have bladed one into once upon a time.
Well, I mean, especially because a lot of times the aiming point ends up being the light post that's very close to the turn bar. So if you hit one pretty clean there, but you hit this, there's no feeling in golf like hitting that nippy little half wedge. You get that little check and then it rolls out. I mean, it rolled out to a foot. Just nice little tap and birdie. Great way to finish the front nine.
Very lefty Phil of you. Or is that too soon? Sorry. Oh, gosh.
Time for our Gruber Losses One Call. That's all. Gruber Losses have been serving the people of Wisconsin for more than 35 years. Gruber Losses, Wisconsin's premier injury firm, Wisconsin's own. Gruber Losses One Call. That's all.
Want to have a little fun with the One Call That's All this week.
Okay.
I don't have anything exciting to talk to you about my own game. Maybe after my wedge fitting.
Wedge fitting?
We can dive into that next week. But with Travelers wrapping up our signature event season, hard to believe here as we haven't even touched July yet, that the signature events on the PGA Tour have come to an end. I figured for our one call, that's all. We all pick our favorite of the signature event season and give our reason why.
Okay.
You want to lead off, or you want me to just take?
You can take the lead on this one. Give me a minute to just give me a second to think about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just we've had some unique champions. I'm just going to run through them real quick. It started off with the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am, Colin Morikawa winning that. Jacob Bridgman putting on a putting clinic at the Genesis out in California. Akshay Bhatia at the Arnold Palmer. Fitzpatrick at RBC Heritage. Cameron Young at Cadillac. Chris Rayton at Truist. And then,
is that
of course,
how you say it? Rayton? I thought it was Rayton.
No, it's Rayton.
It's Rayton. I'm not going to go against you, who actually has to say the name.
At JT Poston and Memorial, and then Victor Hovland winning at Traveler. So I think my Gruber Lofts is one call. That's all. Favorite signature event of the year. I was on the call for it. Maybe that's why. But Akshay Bhatia.
The API, man.
Yeah,
it was so
winning
good.
At Bay Hill was so good.
The
Daniel Berger leading through 54 holes. And Akshay staring him down and able to pull off an unbelievable comeback on his back nine on that Sunday, winning a playoff. I go with Akshay.
Had to play more than 18 holes on that Sunday. And the Akshay, I think it was a six iron that he hit into 16 that
sounds
led to an eagle.
Yeah.
Is one of the great. I mean, that's the most memorable shot of any of the signature events.
Yeah. And I would put what we just saw this past weekend at Travelers up there as maybe a close second for me. RBC Heritage was a great finish with Fitzpatrick and Scheffler as well down the stretch when, for some reason, the fans decided to chant USA for Scotty, and then that pissed off Fitz, and we don't need to dive back into that one again.
It was starting to bleed out into the... on Sunday night, too.
Yeah, oh, I know.
When
Scotty made his putt to force the Monday morning, there were USA chants. Why are we pissing off the Europeans? When can we figure this out?
Yeah.
We don't need to motivate them.
No, they already kick our ass enough. Don't need to do that. I can't wait to hear about Steven's wedge fitting. Maybe we hear about that coming up next week on The Tee.